everybody. Welcome to another live episode of Game Time here on the Outlaw Nation channel. I am incredibly excited to get going with this episode. Everyone is on camera, off camera. We're having a little bit of fiery discussion, so we're going to bring that to on camera. So I'm excited. There's so much to talk about. The Redskins debacle keeps getting worse and worse. The Toronto Blue Jays got kicked out of Canada, and we're jumping into some NBA and NFL news as well. And hey, if you've got a LeBron rookie card, your ass might be rich. We're going to jump into all of that today, but first I got to introduce our guest. Well, first, Winston Marshall, you're riding shotgun again, man. How are you, brother, man?
I'm good, bro. You know, like someone in the chat is already like, why does Winston look so mad at me? I'm like, nah, I just still heard that beat in my head. I was like, Even my pup, she was out here being like,
my cat was like this. He was kidding up here. Do you know pets get really excited for some reason whenever the StreamYard comes out? They think like they're going to be performing. Oh, yeah. Time. Every time without fail, the minute I bring out the ring light and I bring out the microphone, my cat's like, oh, now is a good time for pets. No, right.
Only
you ignore me. You ignore me the other 23 hours a day.
Only the workout with this one. The minute I start working out, she thinks that's the time to try and show me love. Otherwise, it's just this. She's like, man, fuck you. I don't have time for you.
Well, I mean, that beautiful voice you heard right there in the middle between me and Winston is the lovely Jen Sturger. How are you, Jen, in your life, in your world? How's it going?
That's kind of a loaded question these days, Roka. I mean, look. If you have somehow managed to stay sane throughout this entire quarantine process and COVID, because now we're going on, 5 months of lockdown almost?
Yep.
If you've managed to keep your sanity, God bless you. Because I feel like every day I wake up, I'm just a Twitter click away from losing my, you know what? I don't know if I can cuss on this
show. You can absolutely cuss on this show.
I'm a Twitter click away. I'm a tweet away from losing my shit every day. Every day. I'm like, who's coming for me today? Yeah. Who wants this? Like Winston says, who wants hands?
Who wants to catch these hands?
Every day.
Absolutely. And you know, you guys, there's 82 of you already watching us live. Thank you so much. Please don't forget to hit that like button as you're watching this thing. I know the numbers will increase, so I say it now. Hit that like button. Give it some love. If you're watching this way later on and you're starting the show, start leaving comments already. The more comments and likes you leave kind of elevates us in the algorithm of YouTube, who I have yet to meet a scientist or physicist who can figure out that algorithm, but it's there somehow. In some way, likes and comments help it all happen. And of course, your Streamlabs and your Super Chats as well. Give us some love here on the show throughout as we get into it. But let's start off, Jen Sturger and Winston Marshall, with this massive, massive bombshell report. It had been teased all throughout the week last week, and then finally the Washington Post dropped this on the heels of this supposedly change of heart by Dan Snyder about the name of the Washington Redskins football team. Now all of a sudden this report came out with 15 women alleging sexual assault or sexual harassment at the hands of longtime employees of the Redskins, three of which resigned mysteriously before this report came out. That lets you know how much connections there are in D.C. One of them being their longtime play-by-play announcer. All of this one came out here. This is just more more kindling for the fire, Jen, when it comes to Dan Snyder and the Redskins. He's just had a debacle of a time owning this team. What's your reaction to all of this now?
I'm tired. I'm exhausted when it comes to this stuff, Roga, because you and I have had so many conversations about this and just this is a top-down problem. This starts much higher than great just point. The Redskins. This I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an organization in the NFL that doesn't have an open HR case with a female employee or that hasn't had it happen recently that they've just buried, you know, quietly buried and gotten to go away. The NFL does not care about their female fans. It doesn't care about their female employees. At the end of the day, all it cares about is their bottom line.
Right. I mean, look at this, Winston. Jen brings up an excellent point. We've had Breast Cancer Awareness Month every year, but then you look at the Ray Rice situation. You look at the Greg Hardy situation. You look at so many situations where women have been victims at the hands of these athletes. And now It's bled, as Jen said. I'm sure it's in almost every front office. There's probably a female employee who has worked for that front office in the last 10 to 15 years that could say, I experienced the same kind of attitude, the same kind of, experience themselves on a stairwell as these ladies were talking about, and reporters, female reporters as well. It's not just in-house. It's also female reporters on this one. I mean, the NFL doesn't care about women, do they? For real?
No, the only way they care about it is if they can find a way to monetize us. Like, if you could find a way to sell us a domestic violence jersey, that all the profits would go to that. That's the only reason you would get anyone to care about sexual harassment or domestic violence in terms of the NFL. They only care about what kind of money they can make from them.
Yeah.
And that is something that you and I have talked about extensively, Roka, because unfortunately, I have more experience with this than most people do.
Absolutely, Jen.
And that was a conversation that I ended up having with Roger Goodell back when I had to meet with him in 2010.
Yeah.
I said something to him that he got very, very fiery about. And that was something along the lines of, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do, you're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. And he says, are you saying I can't do something? And I'm like, I'm not saying you can't do something. I'm saying you won't do something. Because at the end of the day, he, the other person in that scenario, was worth more to you in his retirement than I would ever be worth to you. You were never going to protect me. And this was all a show. Mm-hmm. This was all a show to make sure that the league was legally covered. You don't care about whether or not I was going to go after him civilly.
Right.
This was all about protecting the Shield.
Yep. Winston, we're seeing that now, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm wanting to be super careful that I don't in any way, shape, or form All Lives Matter this shit. But I want to say that the NFL in general, I think it's very apropos that the team that's currently moving is moving to quote unquote Sin City, because this entire league is filth in the sense that it's always been about their bottom line. They don't give a shit about black people or the black players. They're doing that shit because they got so much flack. Mm-hmm. They had no fucking choice but to finally admit it, because Colin Kaepernick tried that shit for a while. They don't give a shit about renaming the Washington football team. They're doing that because sponsors decided to pull their fucking money.
Yep.
And Jen is exactly right. They don't give a shit about a single woman that is involved in that league. They only are doing it because they're only pretending to care right now, because it's going to potentially affect their bottom line. That is
double down. To double down on what you're saying, Winston, that's absolutely true. You know why they finally allowed a team in Las Vegas? Because the league figured out how they can monetize gambling for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
If they couldn't make money off of it, they didn't want anyone else to make money off of it. But the minute they started partnering with FanDuel, let's put a team in Vegas. Sure, there's no conflict of interest there.
It's one of the reasons why I personally am a big fan of the show Ballers, because they aren't afraid to fucking pull punches on that shit. Like, the entire last season about the getting lifetime health insurance for these players and shit, and how the league was like, I ain't gonna fucking do that shit. Fuck you, but we will get our 18 games. You're gonna do that, and then that's just gonna be what happens. They genuinely only give a fuck about making money. They don't care about the integrity of the game, because you can make arguments about how they go back and forth on rules. They don't give a shit about the players, and they don't give a shit about any of the fans, men or women, but especially women, unless money is involved. The only time that they allowed any sort of pink cleats and shit like that is because, we can make a dollar off of this.
Right.
They remind me of that really ghetto ass uncle I have, that anytime he sees an opportunity to make, he'd be like, oh shit, you survived COVID, nigga, we gonna make a shirt out of this. Like, that's literally what this shit is.
Winston.
He's like Paulie in the Rocky movies. Hey, Rocky, we can make some money of your name, Paulie. Rocky, you know, some money. But it's very true. And you look at the way the NFL is handling this. Goodell isn't coming out strongly and forcefully saying Daniel Snyder needs to make some changes here. We might need to take a look at ownership as well.
We haven't heard from him. The Goodell robot is nowhere to be found right now. He must be getting service in Westworld somewhere. Yeah.
He's sitting down in that lounge chair in the bottom of his house getting serviced. Yeah, exactly.
I think the robot. Phrasing, Roka. But look.
Fair.
I think it's so... It just speaks volumes to what's important to this league,
you know?
And I think also what really hurt me looking at this story and having experienced some of this personally, not necessarily with the Redskins, but with another organization, because like I said, it's everywhere. This is not something that's specific to just the Redskins or the Washington Football Club, whatever you want to call them now.
Right.
I forget my point, but the whole thing. I think I just get so heated about this.
I get it. Let's get some quotes here from former staffer here, Emily Applegate. She described team president Bruce Allen witnessing her, quote, sobbing at her desk several times every week and doing nothing. And on one occasion, she said Eric Schaefer, then the team's general counsel and senior vice president, offered to assist her in filing a complaint after witnessing abuse, but did not file one of his own in spite of a team policy mandating that any witness to such an incident needed to report it. And there were other allegations of fondling. This comes on the heels also two years ago of that report about the cheerleaders having their passports taken from them so they could be forced to be escorts for the richer fans of the Redskins at this resort out of the country. So that kind of, you just see the systematic abuse of women within this organization, and having Dan Snyder come out with his wife, who's complicit in this shit, like you wouldn't believe, talking about how we're going to change the culture. We're going to make these. You're the reason for the culture. You're the problem. It's not the people you hired. It's you. And that attitude, as Jen said, bleeding down throughout the entire organization, the way you're making fun of team vice presidents, the way you're making them do cartwheels because you don't see human beings as actual human beings. Trust me, I know what it's like to work for a diminutive rich man who doesn't see other people as actual human beings and just enjoys making fun of them. That was 3 years of hell. So I know what that life is like. So Dean, everything they described about Dan Snyder doing, I have actually witnessed myself personally in my own job in the past. So I know this is how sometimes these rich guys perform and act, and that bleeds into the sense of privilege of these males on that staff towards these women.
It's not just that, Rocha. You know, I think reading these stories, you would be hard pressed to find a woman that's worked in and around sports that hasn't experienced something to this degree.
Yep.
The stories about telling, like, for instance, with me, I told multiple people what was going on.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I make sure that I've always covered every bullet point that they could ever come back at me and say I didn't follow protocol and that they were not aware of the situation. I make sure people are aware of the situation to the point of my own detriment, where it's like I will be labeled difficult because I call people out on their stuff. Mm-hmm. I've removed myself from scenarios where I felt like I was being attacked, objectified, when I was being made uncomfortable. I had a producer one time who told me that she wanted me to go into a men's locker room right after they'd finished practice. And I looked at her, and this is post the 2010 situation that I dealt with. And I looked at her and I said, do you have any idea what I've been through and why that's not a good idea?
Right, right.
But I was told that I was the one that was causing the problem because I was being disobedient to my producer.
Why don't you just suck it up and do it? Basically is what they're saying, right? Because they're hunting the clicks and the ratings and the peace. That's what they wanted at your expense. True. Winston, I mean, look at all this kind of situation here. It's unsettling. Now the Redskins or the Washington Professional Football Team, they hired their own lawyer, who is a female, talk about PR, to go and explore themselves. So this is essentially like the NCAA is Duke hiring their own investigators to investigate themselves.
That and is using the optics ridiculous. That it's a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Let's be clear. Let's be real clear here. I've dealt with plenty of women that work for organizations that are just as they are complicit.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, they are not there to they reach out to you under that. I understand you. I get you. Right. We're in this together. I totally see your point of view. No, they don't. No, and at the end of the day, they don't care what happens to you. They just are going to protect their team. They're going to protect their interests, and they're going to protect their job. Yep. I cannot tell you how many times I've had women that I worked with personally, that I considered friends personally, turn their back on me and use me for clickbait in order to advance their own career.
Yep.
I actually had a girl write an article about me that said I had to have been asking for it, who is still employed by ESPN with no apology. At all. It's still out there. Go ahead and Google it.
Yep. I've seen those on Twitter.
I mean, this is again, because it's one of those things that obviously as a man, I can't comprehend the stuff that you've been through, Jen. I know that it's been a fucking nightmare. And so, like you said, so many women involved in sports, corporate ladder in general, but specifically in sports, the bullshit you've had to deal with.
But Winston, I feel the same way every time I read a Black Lives Matter article for my friends.
That's exactly.
We are decent people.
I agree.
Are decent people who have seen this happen time and time again, either to ourselves or to people we love. And we're tired. No, we're tired of the shit.
I 1,000% agree with you, because I was going to say my comparison would be the Candace Owens's, the Kanye's, the these situations where then you have these people that are like, well, see, you made it a bit. Candace said that he was a criminal anyway, so who the fuck cares about George Floyd? That's right. That same shit you're talking about where it's like, well, you like the I'm going to say you must have been asking, but like literally go fuck yourself. Like, it's one of those situations that, like, if you can't have the empathy to literally see what the fuck is happening over here and you want to go grandstand so you could get ahead, that's that Uncle Tom shit we be talking about. I don't know if there is a woman equivalent of that, but that's where that shit comes from. That's that house slave bullshit of, like, I'm going to get ahead because then I can go kowtow to the masses. That's what that bullshit is.
We don't have a term for it necessarily, but they're the girl that's like, yeah, I can hang with the guys. Guess what? So can I. It doesn't mean that I'm going to let them belittle me and treat me like garbage.
Yep. Yeah.
I know, because I played that game for a long time. And guess what? The more you let them push the goalpost, the more they're going to keep trying to push that goalpost and push the boundaries with you. And eventually you're going to find yourself in a place there's no return from.
Yep.
Being taken advantage of because they don't care about you.
No, I agree. I'm laughing because Kenneth Daisy found a term for it. I think instead of an Uncle Tom, we call them an Auntie Karen. A fucks with that.
Auntie Karen is good. Auntie Karen is good. Once again, our fans coming with the fire today. The lawyer they hired is Beth Wilkinson from the law firm Wilkinson Walsh. She is conducting an independent review of the franchise's policy. However, this is the same female lawyer that defended Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax against accounts of sexual misconduct. So in God's name, why are you hiring her to analyze your policies when she has experience defending people against these situations? You should be trying to root it out, not bring a female lawyer in who's going to defend the people who committed this stuff. And those cowards, and I call them cowards, who escaped before this report came out, and all of a sudden, including Larry Michael, fuck Larry Michael, for leaving that kind of stuff instead of owning up to it, stepping up to it, and taking the hits. They are the worst kind of men possible. Own up to your shit. Take the hits, for God's sakes. Scurrying away like a rat off a ship at late at night is no way to handle this kind of stuff. And Snyder letting him do it is the most disgusting thing ever as well, man.
I think you nail it right on the head, John. And that is that you have to look at what their motives are in hiring a lawyer. And that's just to keep their own stuff safe. It's just to protect themselves and to like make the optics of it. Look, we're going to clean up our ship. No, you're not. No, you're not. There's just as many rats running around on that ship as there were before.
Yep. Yep.
What's hiring some lawyer, like you said, that has the reputation that she does, that has the resume that she does, it says right away what their goal is in hiring her. And that is that it's not to clean up the organization. It's to make sure that they are not liable for anything that happened to any of the women that work there.
And it's the same way that if you were on the good side of things, I believe her name is Gloria Alves, the lawyer that covers all the Title IX stuff. It sends a message.
Gloria Albright?
Albright, yeah.
Is it Albright? I thought there was a Gloria.
No, Gloria Allred. Allred.
Allred,
Gloria Allred, okay.
Yeah.
It sends a specific message when you determine who it is that you're bringing in for your legal team. It sends a message when you decide you're going to do your own fucking investigation as well.
That's because how'd that work out for the Houston Astros? That went well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well enough that, don't get me started on that, well enough that the MLB ain't going to do shit about it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
It's one of those things where it's like, I would love to be surprised. I would love to be mortified. I would love to be any of those things that the simmering outrage is going to always be there. But it's the same way that every time a cop doesn't get we still haven't arrested Breonna Taylor's fucking murderers. You know what I'm saying? But at what point is my brain like, I can't believe they wouldn't. Like, I'm like at that point where I'm like, I'm fucking furious and I'm going to keep yelling about it. But like, I'm not surprised. And I'm not surprised.
I remember the point that I was going to tell you guys.
Okay.
And I think it was, remember when everybody was sharing all of the conspiracy theories about what this potential story could be when it dropped? It ranged anywhere from them paying off refs. They should get their money back if they did that.
Unless they're paying to lose, because Dan is trying to make some money.
I'm like, damn. How much you gotta pay somebody?
Yeah.
Anyway,
not enough tight ends. There's not enough tight ends on those.
Stupid can't think stupid. Yeah.
But that was one of the conspiracies. Another one was, you know, that it was ties to Epstein and things like that, and child trafficking and sex trafficking.
Yep.
So when the story actually came out, people had the opinion of, Oh, that's it?
Right, right.
That's it. That's right. That's how like deconditioned we are to think that's okay.
Right.
We're just like, oh, that's it. Just some sexual harassment. Just some women being treated poorly in the workplace and being objectified and, you know, and feeling like they have a hostile work environment. That's it.
Yeah. And that's on purpose. That's on purpose. They floated out this stuff. And I really believe it's not conspiracy. This is not tinfoil hat bullshit. I think they floated out the most extreme possibilities it could be. So when the report dropped, people felt like it wasn't as big as they, so it kind of feels like, oh, okay. So it was
marginalized.
It marginalized it. So people didn't have overwhelmingly strong reactions to it. And the Danny, and that's what I call him, can get away with the stuff that he's getting away with now, with that bullshit statement he released saying that he wants to change the culture, that it, you know, all this. And then Ron Rivera, in a way, it really upsets me too, as a fellow Latino, watching him carrying the water for Snyder and saying, we're going to change the culture.
He wasn't hired to change the culture of the front office. He was hired to change the culture of that football team.
Yeah. Also, you haven't even coached one game for us. Hey, who you step part. In and do this.
That's the weirdest part. Why the fuck are you involved? I mean, I get it. Yeah. Since you're technically a high level member of the organization at this stage, but if this is a whole thing, whether that's I need to step away, whether that's whatever, why the fuck are we like, and now this reminds me of Chappelle's joke that he used to have in his first stand-up special about 9/11. And everybody was like, MTV was like, we've got Ja Rule on the line. Oh my God, where's Ja? It's the same thing about Ron Rivera. Why the fuck do I give a shit what he has to say about this right now when that is not anywhere in his job description? And last time I checked, he's not an expert on all of this shit.
Right. So where is his track record of turning around organizations who have suffered this kind of stuff and saying my daughter's going to work here doesn't mean jack shit.
Bro, what about jack shit? That he just came from Carolina where the motherfucker had to sell the team because the fucking owner was out here doing the same fucking bullshit.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
Yep, right? Yep. The comparisons are right there. You're right, Winston. Absolutely. The comparisons are there. So, I mean, we'll keep tabs on this as it goes along, but I don't know how much more needs to happen, but you can already tell that the NFL, by not issuing a statement, by Goodell not coming out and getting in front of this thing,
They will in 2 weeks.
Right, in 2 weeks. So not in front of it, way behind it. After Danny, you know, sweeps it all under the rug, does that cursory approach to it. But the problem is this, Jen, and this and Winston as well, ESPN needs the NFL so badly. They are not going to go after the NFL as strongly as they should. There's too much money. But remember Playmakers? That series got so close to what was actually happening in the NFL. The NFL said, you better cancel that motherfucker in that second season. And they did. And that's
Simmons
the thing.
Simmons got
the kind
fired. That was the big sticking point with Simmons leaving, was that Bill he Simmons. Wasn't allowed to be critical of the NFL.
Of Goodell, just, right.
Like, look, the same things happened to me. I was offered a job with a company and was basically day before I was supposed to start with this company. Basically, they wrote me and they said, we'd love to work with you, but we can't. And I was like, what do you mean you can't? And they're like, well, we can't because one of our partners is the NFL. And it was made very clear to us that if we want to work with you, that's fine. But they don't want to work with us if we work with you.
Yeah. See, that's the ridiculousness that you have to deal with.
So
with
if anybody out there wants to think blackballing isn't real, come see me.
Yeah.
Catch me outside.
I don't think you would have. Oh, I guess you would, because if they don't believe in black belt, never mind. Then I was like, Jared, I thought you just asked for help, and you like, come help me so I can beat your ass. I was like,
if you don't believe it's real, we need to have a conversation. No. Like, no one was cheering harder for Colin Kaepernick. There's actually clips of me breaking down and crying because I sympathize so much with Colin Kaepernick being blackballed.
Yeah. And
the owners not being held accountable for any of it, because it's true.
Yeah.
The owners are never going to turn over any of their communication and prove that they're not blackballing him.
Right.
And that's why they just paid him off.
That's why so many of those 49ers or former 49ers tweeted out as soon as the Jed York over there tweeted Black Lives Matter. And they were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Are you insane to even tweet anything like that in support of Black Lives Matter with the history you have with Colin Kaepernick? Are you crazy? So anyway, we'll keep tabs on this. I'm sure this scandal will grow a little bit more. If more of this stuff starts bleeding out, I hope more of it comes out, because apparently more women came forward and said after their report and were interviewed by reporters about their experiences at that organization as well. And Ron Rivera better stop being this kind of gatekeeper for this crap, because that is not what we are supposed to do as minorities, help the white man cover up their trash. That is not our job, and it needs to stop being our job to do that shit just to secure our own legacy as a coach or a member of the NFL or one of the good guys or one of the company men. I'm so sick of seeing that. He should not let himself be used in this way. He should be pushing back against it. He should be calling out Dan Snyder to sell the team. That's what needs to happen in this situation. But how can you police the man who's signing your paychecks?
No, ridiculous. I agree with you. I agree with you, man. And I think honestly, that's why I have like more respect for like a coach like Mike Tomlin, who not only has made it to the promised land and got the rings, but you saw how when this went down and they're making decisions about how they were going to do it. Obviously, I would much prefer, fuck it, just let everybody go out there and do the kneel thing. But where he goes, you know what? I'm not going to tell my black players what to do. So if they want to go out and do that, they can. And if you don't, the rest of you can stay in the locker room. And that's how we're going to handle it. Mike Tomlin has never played those games. And at the time, I was like, I think you're being too hard on Antonio Brown. Seeing who Antonio Brown is now, which I know we're going to get to him in a minute, that also says how legit he as not only as a coach and a leader of men, but as a black man, that he's not going to fold for some bullshit. And guess what's happened? Has anybody tried to get rid of his ass? Hell no. He's continued to stand up. That's what Ron Rivera's ass is. Just he'll be here for a little bit, then his ass can go too, man.
Yeah, I agree. Jen, how long do we have you for? Is that it, or can we jump into baseball?
You can jump into baseball a little bit.
All right. So that's what's happening there. And guys, please send in your Streamlabs, send in your Super Chats. Samira sent in. He said, Jen in the house. Woot, woot. All right. Loving that. Loving it. So we see some hashtags for Free Jessica. So which I think is awesome. I love those still rolling through here. Some people think the Schmominati is a part of this thing. Oh, 156 Impulse says, this Washington team needs help. This is unbelievable. I know Washington fans, they are pissed. We are.
I just pitch to you, John, really quick, that if you decided ever that you wanted to join the Schmominati, like as far as the conspiracy theory aspect of it, I really think you should wrap your cowboy hat and tinfoil.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you'll never.
I feel like it's a look. It's a look.
It's a look, all right. D-Train said, baseball is back, man. Do the Yankees look good? I'm hyped. There's only 60 games this season, so over under Yankees.
Now, the Yankees look good. Who were they playing?
Yeah, the Mets, for God's sake.
Who were they playing? Hey. If you were a Mets fan watching that, especially Conforto getting kicked off at first, were you just like, oh no? I waited all spring and some of summer for this.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah. Craziness. Well, let's jump into baseball here. Jen, you know, this is something you all cover on your great show, Swing and Misses. Is it been expanded to another? Is that the name still? Or have we got a new name?
Yeah, Swings and Misses still. Okay. Yeah, it's Swings and Misses too. Okay. We just finally gave my co-host the presence on our logo, because I was like, oh, we really should like acknowledge the fact that Eddie's there, you know? Pence. So Eddie's on there. We tried to get our dog Kevin in as well, but like the network was like, no. Let's not draw attention to the fact you're working from home right now, you know?
Exactly. Washington football fan, Eddie Pence. Well, this is in another country. Canada now is barring the Toronto Blue Jays from playing any of their games at home. 60-game season here. They're going to be allowed to conduct their preseason training in Canada, which is connected to their home field, Rogers Center. But the regular season would have to require them to go into the United States to play all their games in the United States. So they have to hunt now for a stadium and for facilities and all of this stuff. So could they be a 60-game Bingo Long and his traveling all-stars team? Is this a team that's just going to go from, you know, all across the country and never play a home game?
No, because that's not fair. That's not fair, because you think about it, home field advantage, regardless of whether or not they're fans, still means something. For instance, if you go and you play at Dodger Stadium right now, the batter's eye has actually been modified because they put in a concourse there to service the bleacher creatures out there.
Hello.
No, look. That part of the bleachers at Dodger Stadium is just known for, like, it's Wild Wild West out there. You know what I mean? So, but you weren't really allowed to, like, come into the actual, like, stadium parts. Like, it's been its own little world. But so they put in a concourse out there. They made a bunch of changes to it. The main gate to enter the stadium is actually right there. So now in the batter's eye, there's literally a bar.
Yeah.
That people will be milling around at when we finally have fans. But regardless, it's not a solid background anymore. For those of you that don't know, a batter's eye is supposed to be a solid background. It's usually green or it's black.
Yeah.
Anything that helps the player that's at the batter pick up the spin of the baseball. If there's anything else going on, like a video board and like that, it becomes incredibly hard. And it's honestly a really a huge disadvantage to away teams to come in that aren't familiar with that field to try to hit because they can't see the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the fact that they would be playing all these games on the road, it's like they wouldn't have any kind of home field advantage for themselves. But the only options they have right now is Buffalo, which is not up to code.
Oh my God.
It's not big enough. There's the lighting is like sketchy at best. The other is Dunedin in Florida.
Yeah.
And Dunedin, while it's ready to go, a lot of the spring trainings are, it's in Florida.
Right. In the epicenter. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that they're just trying to minimize the spread in Florida. You know what I mean? Like, why are you going to put them in Florida and have another team that we're going to have to be exposing players to by bringing them into the state? You know what I mean? The one place that Cody and I have talked about it possibly being a place is look at some of these AAA stadiums that are really, really nice. You have stadiums like El Paso, the Chihuahuas. None of these AAA stadiums are being used right now, by the way, because AAA was effectively canceled for this year.
Right.
So you have El Paso is a fantastic stadium. It basically looks like Petco Park. Yeah. Then you have the Las Vegas Aviators. That stadium is amazing. That stadium is going to be what they eventually use as like the proof that Major League Baseball is viable in Las Vegas and draws, and they'll end up getting the Oakland A's to come there eventually.
Wow. Okay.
That's my hot take for the day.
I like that one. What do you say there, Winston?
What I say is that as the show goes on today, I'm realizing how inept we are and how our credentials are not nearly strong enough to be doing this show. Ben's out here dropping knowledge that none of us, all I do is I come and I go, nigga this, nigga that, joke. And she out here be like, here's this stadium, and it has a 3.57872 diameter that helps with the batter's direct trajectory angle if you happen to be there longer than 2.65 days. And I'm like, So like, what? I mean, it's as simple as this. I'm still of the mindset before it was, I was concerned from the social justice side of things. Mm-hmm. We're finally knocking on the door of in the middle of another civil rights movement. And I was like, sports is going to be a distraction. Now I'm of the mindset beyond all of that. We're just not even fucking ready, man.
We're really not
fucking ready. Yeah. Like those other countries, when you're seeing soccer happening in Europe and whatnot, that's because Europe handled their shit. Shit. There's a reason why Canada's like, nah, son, you ain't bringing none of them motherfuckers up here.
Yeah.
Because you're like, nah, we tired of they shit down there. We are tired of it. So I'm just of the mindset that like, we haven't earned the right to have sports again. I missed so bad.
But you're so right, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You're so right, Winston, because sports, I feel like, is a byproduct of a functioning society. Mm-hmm. And we do not have a functioning society right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's so much wrong with what's going on in the world today that like giving us sports right now, I feel like is almost like rewarding a kid that's really been misbehaving.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, right? It feels like, well, if I just give him some more chocolate, maybe he'll calm down. If I just
that's
give him
definitely
what
not how that works. I'll never let you babysit ever, John.
That's not how any of this works. It makes no sense.
But that's how I do that with my nieces and nephews. My sisters know very clearly, you have this set amount of time to go on your date and come home. If you any later than that and these kids are acting up, guess who's getting all the ice cream in the house and I'm just going to let them stay up until whenever. That's on you then.
Oh, I like that. You're handling
business. They ain't paying me. They ain't paying me, so I'm about to pay them back. That's what's about to happen.
Justin Town says, our governor's an idiot. Not all of us enjoy risking our lives to go get some bread from Walmart. Wear your damn mask. He's talking about Florida, but DeSantis and all the crap he's saying. It's insane. You're right. I don't know why the NBA thinks it's going to work in Orlando. You got guys already breaking out of that bubble, claiming to not have read the fine print. Holmes, why do you think you could go bass fishing in the middle of the bubble. Are you insane? And then claim that I didn't know I wasn't supposed to leave my hotel room. It's madness what is happening there. If you start moving Florida down there, Toronto to Florida to play down there, same thing is going to happen. It's madness. I don't understand. We haven't earned sports. Look, I know this is a sports show. There's nothing I want more than for sports to come back. However, I don't want it to come back just to force it to come back and people catch this stuff and spread it around to everybody. And we see how many players have already in the MLB said they are not coming back to play because they have children or they take care of older loved ones. They don't want to have that responsibility of bringing coronavirus in their house without knowing they're bringing coronavirus into their house and having someone die or get deathly ill at their expense. So to force this is insane. 17 out of 32 teams already have at least one person who's tested positive for coronavirus, and they haven't even started really fully playing the games. The NFL, same situation. The NFLPA, and we're going to jump into that story in a little bit, but they came forward with all those tweets. All these players were tweeting about, wait a minute. Don't you start NFL stuff without following the guidelines that's been set out federally mandated by the CDC. And the NFL, further proof that the NFL don't give a fuck about you in that situation there as well.
John, I'm about to send you something real quick. That you could, it says it's StreamYards, then you can upload it. And if you ever want a quick response for something, you could just click it and it'll just play like we do on Blurs when we have the meow thing and all.
Oh,
that.
Nice.
This is for you, bro. Go ahead.
Okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
But it's so crazy that the players are like, let us play. It's like, how did they not think that this was how this was going to go down? I feel like you're going to miss several weeks of football, just like you missed several weeks, almost half the season. You missed half the season, more than half the season of baseball.
Right.
You should have been paying attention to what was happening with the MLB negotiations because you're getting ready to go through the exact same thing. It's like, where were you guys? Pay attention.
Yep.
If you don't think that the player, like if you don't think that the owners are going to run the exact same playbook that they just did with MLB, come on.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Looking at this story now, we might as well jump into it now. All these players came out. Adam Schefter retweeted a bunch of these players on Twitter and what they were saying. Drew Brees saying, we need football. We need sports. We need hope. The NFL's unwillingness to follow the recommendations of their own medical experts will prevent that. If the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there is no football in 2020. It's that simple. Todd Gurley, you want to watch football this year? Then us players need to remain healthy in order to make that happen. Patrick Mahomes came out as well. Myles Garrett said, if the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there is no football in 2020. It's just that simple. Jarvis Landry said, crazy to see how the NFL is not following the recommendations of its own experts regarding health and safety for us as players.
Victor Cruz, Cam Newton, and Todd Gurley had that sit down. They were talking about that. And OBJ was like, I'm concerned about my family.
Right.
Like, on top of the fact that I've made more than enough money to be fine, I have people in my household that I am not going to take COVID back to. So, figure your shit out. That's why so many NBA players said, fuck your bubble and fuck your rest of your season. I'm out. Like, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, exactly. JJ Watt, we want to play. We want to be as safe as possible. We still had not have been granted the full and proper training camp acclimation period necessary as recommended by the medical and training staffs. We still do not know if there will be daily testing or every other day testing. We still do not know if there will be preseason games or not. We still do not know how a positive COVID test will be handled in regards to others in close contact. For example, a huddle, a strong and fair opt-out clause for those at higher risk, for those with family members at higher risk. If players do not show up on time, they can be fined or considered a breach of contract. Even if health and safety protocols have not been agreed upon, plans have not been approved. We want to play. So basically, they're all saying, look, we all want to play. Just fix this shit so we can play.
I forgot about huddles.
Yeah, I mean, huddles, what do you expect? And Jen, I'm sure you saw that helmet that they're working on. Oakley is ridiculous.
Yeah, Oakley's right now partnering up with the NFL to design a helmet. I actually worked for Oakley. That was one of my first jobs when I got out of high school. I worked first for an optician, and then I worked with Oakley to help them design their prescription lenses. I was like one of their opticians in stores, so I was like legally authorized to like dispense Oakley eyewear, like prescription stuff.
Right.
But the lenses that they're making for these Oakley mouth guards and face shields, the only issue I see with them mm-hmm. is that some players may have claustrophobia, which is what JJ Watt was saying. He's like, yeah. I wore a face shield for 5 minutes and I was like, rip this thing off.
Yep.
There's like little holes on the front of the mouth shield. Apparently there's going to be some kind of disposable sheets essentially that you can rip off, kind of like a race car, like old school race car windows where they just rip off that so you can keep going. So it's going to have like multiple layers of film that are going to come off at some point during the game. So like, I guess limit the exposure, kind of like changing your face mask. But I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. More and more. Go ahead, Winston. What were you going to say?
That's interesting that they're trying to come up with certain stuff. But I'll say this. I'll guarantee you right now, NFL is trying to figure out how they can donate billions to whoever just said in England that they're second away from the vaccine. They out here being like, human trial started. What you want? You want Antonio Brown? You can have Antonio Brown. Pump him with everything. I don't give a fuck. Get this vaccine, goddammit.
Does it say something that like we're gonna have players opting out and the NFL's like, no, we still don't want Antonio Brown back?
Yeah. Fair point. That's a fair point. As we're reporting this right now, this is breaking now. The NFL and its players have reached an agreement on the testing aspect of the COVID-19 safety protocol. So finally, I guess all those tweets really worked. They said Dr. Alan Seals, the league's chief medical officer, said that the agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA would require daily COVID-19 testing for the first 2 weeks of training camp. After 2 weeks, if the positive test rate is below 5%, the league would scale back to testing every other day. If the positive test rate is not below 5%, they will continue with daily testing until such time as it falls below that number. I still think that's ridiculous. I think every day, what is the problem with everyday testing? Don't tell me the NFL isn't rich enough.
They don't have enough money.
Testing. Oh, sure.
They don't have enough money.
Yeah, with that TV money, they have no money.
By the way, guys, I figured out how to replace the huddle. They're just going to hold up these signs. They'll be like, oh, okay. He sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Am I right? Yes, he does. I can't do a Kermit. I can't do a Kermit to save my life.
That is tough to do, Kermit. Kermit is
Well, guys, thank you so much for having me. I got a balance right. for the day. No but worries. Anytime you guys want an angsty female to come and join you guys.
Or someone with actual knowledge. That's real.
You guys are plenty knowledgeable. I've enjoyed this. I laughed my ass off. Thank you so much, guys, for making hard topics way more fun to listen to.
I love you, Jen. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Love you guys. Be safe.
You too.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Jen Sturgill like a hurricane in and out, brother. I love it. She's incredible.
dropping truth bombs just all over the place, man. So
just like you said, man, I mean, she brings the knowledge. We got to roll with it as best we can. She always does, man. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Let me find the other overlay here to get both our names on it correctly. So
I was going to ask you, can you do me a favor? If we change an overlays, can you put the A in there? It's a part of my name, son.
Where? What are you talking?
A Marshall. Come on.
Oh, you want the A?
Yeah.
In a Schmodown thing, would that be like, would I lose the question if I said Winston Marshall instead of Winston A Marshall?
Yeah, because you could be talking about the dude from Mumford and Sons. You know what I'm saying? You have no idea who you're talking about.
Is his name Winston Marshall for real?
He is. And then there's this Canadian ugly ass fuck that's also named Winston Marshall in the
it's a shame.
The union.
Wow, I did not know that. It's all good, man. All right, here, let me bring it up. I think I can get it up now for us. But I won't have the A in it. I'm sorry. Okay. There we go.
But now you know. You're all good.
I'll talk to my overlays guy, Jake Yakovet, and ask him to put the A in there. And give Jen some love, guys. Follow her on all the stuff that she's doing. Swings and Misses, fantastic show that she's got going on with her husband, her and Cody Decker, doing their thing. They have a good time with Eddie Pence over there, trying to hold down the fort and handle being between those two, because both of them are very, very strong, opinionated people and knowledgeable people as well. So there you go. All right, let's move on to, what do you think about all of this here, Winston, overall? I mean, with this idea of the NFL players being upset about this, and then now they're making the changes to add this test. I mean, don't you think this should be happening like all the time? This is ridiculous. It should be every other day, don't you think?
No, it 1,000% should be. But we have to remember a couple of things. I mean, first, because we're going to get to Dwight Howard, I think, later. You're dealing with millionaires, and some of them are going to be on board and some aren't. But you're also dealing with, again,
yeah,
a business that only gives a fuck about their bottom line. I think that I think the saying that I'm sure it's been used in other places too, but there's a Boondocks episode where Riley has taken over the high school, like the elementary school chocolate bar game, you know, where parents are selling chocolate bars for the kids and shit. He's like, you got to pay the cost of doing business. And that is that for most people, that means doing the minimum. They're not talking about doing it to where you're genuinely taking care of your employees or anything else like that. They're like, oh, I need to give you. That's why there's a minimum wage, because if they could, they would do slave labor. You know what I'm saying?
If they could.
There is a floor for a reason. Yeah. And so that's the problem here, is that you don't have people that are upstanding enough to take this seriously enough to put a legitimate floor. Right. So the minimum shit they can get away with, there you go. But we've said this before. The NFLPA is probably the worst players association in professional sports.
They
fold so often. Yeah. They fold on shit so fucking often. And part of that is because there is a larger gap between your top tier and your bottom tier in the NFL than there is really in any other sport. Even like the 15th player on an NBA team is a millionaire. Whereas you have a lot of people in the NFL that are barely cracking 100K. Maybe I think the floor there is like 250, which for the everyday man, dope. But for like someone that is violently putting their body on the line, and you know people like Dak Prescott asking for absurd amounts, or Patrick Mahomes making, what was it? There was a 700 or 500. How many millions he just got over 10 years? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 500 like, million. Yeah.
500. You know what I'm saying? That gap is insane. Yeah. That is fucking insane. But that's why you also have a bad PA, because we're not on the same playing field. You literally have a 1% of the NFL and a 99 down here, you know?
So. we got some Streamlabs that roll through here. Some of them for a couple, or one is for Jen, rather, and we'll do the best. Tushka Productions has such a great panel and discussion today. And thank you all for sharing your experiences and passion. If you want a native perspective, give me a call, Rucka. Well, I have one already. She's my girlfriend, son. Jen, who do you have? Rucka or Irwin? She said, I'm going with Irwin because Rucka needs all the motivation he can get. I think that's what she said. I'm just joking. I don't know what she said. I'm saying this.
Bro, I swear you have the most Michael Jordan Last Dance mentality about this shit.
What?
No.
I'm not pushing anybody.
It's not a bad thing, but you literally, it's like, yo, I mean, what was it? It was, they put Ethan Irwin on the front part of the poster. It may have just been, that was the easier thing to crop. The photo they may have had with you with the belt, maybe your right shoulder didn't look so good. You're like, you're going to put me on the back, man. I'm going to drop 50 on your ass.
The only poster I've ever seen with the champs behind the guy. So I'm just putting it out there.
It's a singles match, my guy. It's a singles match.
It's a number one contender match is what it is.
Well, no, but I know, but it's a singles match on the teams. I agree with you. If they put y'all as the team champs behind whoever the people trying to come in your face, I give you that. And I am not knocking you as a champion and a multi-singles champion. I'm not knocking any of that shit.
Yeah.
My genuine question, who's the last between the two you had the singles belt most recently?
Singles belt?
Yes.
Ethan, you were him. Most recently, because he beat that me would for
be
it.
My, that would be my guess. Yeah,
right.
That's
right,
my guess.
Right. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
No. See, look what I just did. The belt most recently. I'm about to drop 50 on your ass.
Now I'm gonna give Alex Damon all my Star Wars knowledge now.
I want David much. I want David that so bad.
Now I'm gonna help him, son of a bitch. It's totally in here. But we got another one. here that rolled through. Charles Clark says, I wonder if you guys think the lack of fans will help batters lock in more or pitchers focus. I know a lack of fans won't affect the A's or the Rays. They're used to it. # let's go Yankees. Shout out, Charles. Respect. Let's go Yankees. Absolutely in the same boat. And yes, you're right. The A's or the Rays are used to not having fans. But you know what was great? Somebody posted a video of the Angels guy hitting the homer yesterday wearing a mask and running around the bases and put, really? This guy can hit a home run, but your ass can't go to the grocery store and wear a mask? Get the fuck out of here. I thought that was brilliant.
Bro, it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, the funny thing is, it's really not even an argument anymore, but people are making it one. I mean, you have the fact that surgeons are like, I literally have wore three masks on top of each other before COVID for 8 hours at a time while doing brain surgery.
Yeah.
You can't go to the grocery store for 30 minutes. Like, if anything, what it's really showing us, in my opinion, is the weaker end of our species as a whole, like whether it's mentally fragile or physically fragile or whatever, yeah. it again is not that fucking serious.
Right.
And whether or not it's, I just can't do it, or being brainwashed otherwise, I think there's something that needs to be looked at and addressed at how soft we've gotten, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
come yeah. on. Come on, but you're hoping, that's the one thing I hope. I hope maybe that they do put sports back and all these athletes are out here wearing it while they play.
Yeah.
And then they go, God damn, you saw that Steph Curry been running up and down the court for 48 minutes and he seems fine.
He's wearing a mask.
I understand that he is a professional athlete and probably has more athleticism than more than half the people in this country. But if he is sprinting for 48 minutes with a mask on, I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, I think you're fine. Haskell420 dropped in. He said, Jen's idea of writing the play on paper, great idea. The Bears would have a huge advantage. Tight end pass, but which of the 10?
So they all pretend to block, and they all turn around like this, and it's like, well, you do realize you have left no blocking whatsoever now, because all y'all fucks done turned around. I hope Jay is on the plane watching this.
Oh, please, I hope so, too.
I genuinely hope he's just fuming right now.
So fantastic. PC asks if my girlfriend is Rasa. No, she's half Native American. Her mom is full Native American from the Mono tribe up in Northern California. So trust me, I got a lot of Native American point of view coming into my life all the time, especially about this Redskins thing. The entire family is on a text thread celebrating this Redskins situation and changing the name. So trust me, I get enough of that throughout my life here with that situation. All right. Hill Nellums. Hey, Hill. Good to see you again, my man. He donated. He said, Sports is the McRib for the U.S. right now. I can't remember who I stole this joke from, but I love that.
It may have been me last week.
Did you say that?
I feel like I made a McRib joke last week, okay. Honestly.
All right.
I'm gonna check the tape. We were doing all the Washington Dick shit, so like, you know, we were kind of on that. But I think I made that McRib joke because it sounds familiar, and I feel like it came out of my mouth because you know how I go on these random rants.
Yeah.
So, I'll check the tape. We'll see. Jay is fighting an air marshal. On top of that, he's an air marshal. So that motherfucker, he's like, bitch, I know you related to Winston. Fuck you. Fuck you. Jay is getting tased right now because somebody literally turned around and said, damn, that person got a tight end. And he's like, what the fuck you said?
He just snaps. It just snaps. In fact, it just snaps. Someone goes, yeah, it was tight. And I thought that, just even remotely coming close to staying tight end. So there you go. That's right, Acer. Wearing a mask while hitting a home run. That's fire. Absolutely. Not easy to do, man. Not easy to do. So another news story that popped up here, and Winston said it to me, so let's talk about it. Antonio Brown says he's done playing football. It's just like yelling into an echo chamber. He said, it is time to walk away. I've done everything in the game at this point. The risk is greater than the reward. Thank you, everyone who's been part of this journey. I sincerely thank you for everything. Life goes on, 84. I came, I saw, I conquered, mission complete, call God. I don't know what any of this means, mostly because there's no punctuation in the tweet. But talk to me about the situation here, Winston.
There's a few emojis, bro. There's like
an emoji,
and there's like a prayer hands, you know.
Stuff
like
that. All right. My bad.
I got you. This is what this is.
All right.
You ever see your homeboy try and holler at a girl, be like, hey, Miss Daniel, you looking kind of good one night, you know what I'm saying? You want to come with me, we go back to my place. You know, I got like, I got Hennessy, but I got like some sort of liquor that says is brown and looks like alcohol. If you want to come roll with me, then she's like, pass. And all of a sudden it's like, whatever, funky ass bitch, you ugly anyway. that's what this is.
That's fair.
This is 1,000% the league has been done with his ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he got multiple chances, and even the league was like, I can't with you.
We can't put this together.
So now, there's a joke in How I Met Your Mother. I never watched the show, but I was talking to my girlfriend about this, and she was like, oh, that's a How I Met Your Mother thing. I was like, okay, sure. There's like a hotness to craziness factor.
Oh, so yeah.
Hotness in this case is his talent,
right.
And the craziness is the bullshit he's been pulling.
Right.
Well, at this point, his craziness far outweighs his hotness or his talent.
Yes.
And so nobody is touching him, period. Yeah. They refuse to do so. So what do you do to try and save face? You go, oh, yeah, you know, I ain't want to play no more. Like, my body been on the line, and you know what I'm saying? And praise God, we done everything we wanted to do. Did he? Did he win a Super Bowl?
That's what I'm getting at. What did he do?
Like, I know he got a pretty big contract, but it sounds like he done blown through some of that money already. So...
Yeah.
did you really, or are you just really trying to save face? And that's what this looks like here.
Dude, every few years, there's a great receiver in the NFL, a great stable of receivers in the NFL. It's nothing new. So, I mean, for you to call yourself out for saying great job, legacy, blah, blah, blah. If you ain't got a, if you ain't got more than one Super Bowl ring and you don't have like that kind of like the legacy now is people are going to remember your nuttiness at the end. People are going to, what was it? Terrell Owens. I mean, how many people really remember Terrell Owens for his play? Most people remember for
it's my, quarter,
it's my quarterback or do it
or running doing up it, on the Dallas Star and doing right, the PO right.
Or doing his sit-ups in the middle of the park in the driveway, doing his sit-ups in the driveway, all that stuff. They're gonna, or the popcorn thing, that's what they're gonna remember. Like Randy Moss, a lot of people remember Randy for pulling his pants down during that Packers game or simulating pulling his pants down in celebration. So that kind really? Of stuff that's follows what people you
remember. I don't know if I fully agree with some of this only okay. from the standpoint of you're right. People remember T.O.'s antics, but people also remember T.O. playing on a broken leg in the Super Bowl while Donovan and given an all-star once in a lifetime performance while Donovan McNabb is throwing up. You know what I'm saying? Like people remember that. People remember Randy Moss as part of the greatest, one of the greatest teams of all time, even though they couldn't seal the deal at the end, where Tom Brady put up what 50 touchdowns that year because Randy Moss was torching fools. Like people remember these players. And it's not to say you don't remember some of the Antonio Brown stuff, like his play and how he went from like, what was he, like a fourth rounder to becoming the best receiver in the league. The problem is his antics are so much worse.
So nuts.
And off the field on top of that, you remember that. So like he's starting to get into, I won't go so far as to say Aaron Hernandez because like he murdered someone and he only committed suicide. Not that far. But as far as like you're now remembering that bullshit, so you don't remember Ray Rice as the running back, you remember Ray Rice on that.
Exactly. Tape. Yeah.
That's the territory Antonio Brown has gotten into.
Yep. Now. Yep.
On the field antics, I don't necessarily equate the same with that.
Okay.
That's off the field. He is 1,000% gotten there at this point.
Oh, yeah, I think so too. I mean, that's, and I, you know, I remember my young days, the hotness, craziness factor. Absolutely true. You're like, okay, she's hot, but she's a little crazy. Let me see how long I can hang with this before I get thrown off the Bronco. And that's
your new impression. You do a great Christopher Walken, bro. You didn't even mean to do it. Like, she's hot, but she's crazy.
No, she's crazy. Don't know. She stabbed my brother, but the sex was incredible. So what do I do now?
I need more sex.
It's incredible. Four times. Why not? someone says top 10 tight ends show idea. That could be fun. Sports starts getting delayed more and more. That might not be a bad idea. But you know, look, and for all you can say, and maybe we should have called Josh McCuga to weigh in on this, but he probably would have set Antonio Brown on fire. But Antonio Brown was one of the great receivers in the NFL. Him retiring is not because he wants to retire. Like Winston said, it's because the league rejected him and they don't want him back. So he's going to try to get his shots in while he's leaving. That's the game. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that some people leave gracefully. Some people leave setting everything on fire. So he chose to set everything on fire. I mean, recording your coach dog, that's just a no-no, man. Recording that voicemail and putting it up there, that is just a no-no, dude. You know, it's different.
Can you throw a bag of candy dicks at his baby mama?
Over
some bullshit? Like, dude is insane. Yeah. And I honestly believe at this point, honestly, I think that he is like the first full-blown living example of CTE we've seen. People are like, he was already kind of stupid and or crazy beforehand. I was like, yeah, but this has hit a new gear.
Yeah,
because he was already doing some stuff before, but not to the point that it was like national news week after week after week after week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody was checking for Antonio Brown like this.
Yep.
And now it's I look at Antonio Brown the way I look at Kanye, where I'm like,
I was just going to say that.
Please stop talking. Please stop talking. And second, has anybody genuinely tried to help you?
Yeah.
Or are you just surrounded by so many yes men that you're just getting away with this bullshit time after time?
Yeah.
I am genuinely concerned that there is something seriously wrong with this man, and I would venture a guess that CTE is behind it.
Yeah, yeah. With Kanye, do you think CTE?
Kanye is a known diagnosed bipolar.
Yes, this is very true. Yeah,
and that is known, and he has been also known to not always stick with his meds, which a lot of people I have heard. Like I don't have personal experience, but from accounts that I know.
Yeah.
That people will start to feel really good on their meds. So they're like, I don't need these now. So then they stop taking them. And then you have an episode and then it's about getting you back on it. And on top of the fact that even the effectiveness goes down if you don't keep with the regimen. So there's a whole lot of things going on there. But you know, that's a whole other different conversation. But yes, Antonio Brown is essentially the Kanye. Oh my God. Oh no, 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 no. Holy fuck. So Kanye can come out here and say that Harriet Tubman didn't free slaves, that Antonio Brown can put baby dicks in the crowd. Are you fucking kidding about baby candy dicks? Fuck that. No, no, no.
I don't know. Can't be any worse than what we got now. Anyway, so, I mean, we'll see what happens. And we'll see where Antonio Brown pops up. My guess is reality shows, Big Brother, Dancing with the Stars. Lord knows he's going to show up in all those places. But once that gets exhausted.
White House.
Apprentice in the White House. I could see that. I hope to God you invested wisely, Antonio, because you made money. I hope you invested wisely, because once those reality things are done, what the hell else are you going to do after that? So I hope to God there's something down the road for you, because I think what Winston said kind of turned me around a little bit. If he's got the CTE, a living example of CTE, then he needs to get help. And a lot of these players probably do need to get help a little earlier than they actually do before they start showing those signs. They should be getting tested for that as well, not just the COVID, for God's sakes. We all hit AB. I'm just the last to admit it. Oh, nice. Nice, nice little line. Nice little joke
like
there.
I like that.
Well, I mean, I hesitate to do this, but we got to move on to this. Speaking of athletes that aren't that all that smart sometimes, Dwight Howard. Can we talk about this? Dwight Howard.
Sometimes. You mean all the time?
I mean, dude, I've never seen a guy go from what was this is a lie. This is D-Train. That's an absolute lie. That's not true at all. That is not true. 346 tests, the NBA, zero positive tests. Nope, that's not true at all, dude. They have absolutely tested positive quite a few players here or recently. So, but anyway, Dwight Howard, I mean, I never seen a guy go from what was a perennial all-star who everybody absolutely was in love with and was like intimidated by. He was doing campaigns, doing all this stuff, and seeing him now to the point where after all those being going from team to team to team, jokes about the fact that he's kind of not that smart, that he doesn't pay attention to coaches. He goofs around, does practical jokes. He loves to fart on the plane loudly so that people know it was him that did it. Like all these kind of stories coming out of multiple teams. And now we have this thing with the Lakers. Look, the Lakers brought him back years after he had been heralded as the new superstar center of the Lakers. He's brought back to essentially do cleanup work. But look at all the stuff he's doing now. He's down there not wearing a mask in Florida. And now he responded to one of the fans asking about vaccinations. And he said, do I believe in vaccinations? No, I don't. That's my personal opinion. But no, I don't. I didn't know that the coronavirus be flying through the air looking for people. That's literally how it's translated. So anyway, thoughts on this, man? Thoughts on any of this, man?
It's funny because I in no way let me be super clear about this. I in no way, shape, or form agree with anything that has ever come out of Laura Ingraham's mouth. I think she is a heinous asshat, sure, and she can go fuck herself. The one thing that I do find interesting, and this ties back to the Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model, that we look to people that we have never asked them to genuinely do better about mentally educating themselves. We applaud them for being at the top of physical condition. And looking at them for certain things. Why the fuck are we, like, I don't have a problem with, like, he can have an Instagram all he wants, but, like, you notice how many times Dwight Howard opens his mouth and we go, God damn it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that, where I say that, like, again, I'm not agreeing with Laura Ingraham, because the flip side of that is you look at Drew Brees. God damn it. Shut the fuck up. Just throw the football. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I would never want to say the shut up and dribble. I think if they have opinions on stuff and all that, that's cool. But I will tell you this, you say something stupid, I'm gonna lambast your ass.
Right.
And in this particular case, you're out here being like, I know Corona be out. Look, nigga, do you know how a virus works? Clearly you don't. That's exactly what happens. You walk by, you go, and the shit lingers. They've said it a million fucking times. It can linger in the air for up to 15 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
There's two reasons you wear a mask. You wear a mask, it stays in the mask. You're not gonna reinfect yourself. So if you have some shit, you're fine. So you're keeping it from getting, like, if 100% was out there, now you got like 7% of the shit you just coughed out in the air. It's the first thing. And then the second thing is, for everybody else, if you're walking through the cloud, you are potentially preventing that cloud of shit that's out there from getting to your fucking face and nose, you dumb motherfucker. So, and then he's going to say he don't believe in vaccinations. Now, don't get me started about that, because I will really go off on a motherfucker.
Yeah,
I will lose my shit.
Yeah.
Over this shit. So that's all I have to say. He a dumbass. Let him let him just be the dumbass that he is. I just hope that nobody is potentially taking medical advice from Dwight Howard. That's what I'm hoping, is that no one is taking that shit seriously.
Yeah. I mean, Dwight Howard, he is doing something really good. He is donating the remainder of his 2019-2020 salary to Breathe Again, which is a charitable campaign aimed at bridging a gap between races and people. That's a fantastic thing. He wants to focus on issues like Breonna Taylor's death, but him not wearing a mask can obscure those kinds of issues, can show him as a non-reliable person or kind of really damage his credibility and what he's doing here. Frank Vogel, his own coach, said everyone should be wearing masks both walking to practice and walking out of practice. They need to be wearing masks. But here's Dwight Howard purposely not wearing one, claiming that it's not that big of a deal. He says, I don't see a risk of us getting it during the time period that we are down here. Look, some of the chat were highlighting this situation, so I have to say I do stand a little bit corrected. I'm just looking now on ESPN. This just dropped about 20 minutes ago. Zero positives out of 346 players tested for COVID-19 in the Orlando bubble. That's great. When they officially went in there on July 13th, there were two positives out of 322 players. We did see Russell Westbrook test positive. We saw a number of other players test positive before they got into the bubble. Jokic being one of them, who got stuck there in his homeland, it wouldn't be allowed. So there are players who've tested positive outside of the bubble. That's fair. Maybe inside the bubble, they're not.
Did you hear, though, about the one dude who was like, hey, y'all, I don't remember which player it was, but he was like, hey, y'all, I know you're upset about the food that's coming in, but what you can do is you can order the Postmates, and then you just walk outside and get the Postmates from them, and then you go back to your room. You got whatever food you want. I just ordered filet mignon. I'm doing good. And they're like, they saw the tweets, and they go, nigga, you just snitched on yourself. You're now in quarantine for the next 14 days because you went outside the bubble we set up.
That's the stupid part of this whole, man. And, you know, Dame Lillard said this, and you and I both said this. They are not going to stay within the rules. They are naturally built because of the amount of money they're getting paid and how good they are at one of the toughest jobs to do in the world. I don't mean jobs in terms of like labor. I mean jobs in terms of skills. Mm-hmm. One of the toughest jobs in the world to be great at basketball. It yields you a lot of money if you're damn good at this job. But it also makes you feel like you're untouchable, unstoppable. You're at the peak of your health. And, of course, Ron DeSantis, like an idiot down there in Florida, saying, well, you know, if you're in peak health, you'll get over this quickly. So the gyms should stay open so that people can get back in shape is maybe one of the most ignorant things you're ever going to see a person say in their lives. Got nothing to do with it. Freddie Freeman, who is maybe one of the most athletic, well-built young men in the world for the Atlanta Braves, caught this shit and almost died. And talked about how he's still recovering from it. And all these statistics and studies are coming out about how that shit affects your mental health, affects your brain, affects your heart, affects your lungs.
Because it's attacking blood vessels. That's the one thing that they finally nailed down that they've consistently said now is that this isn't a respiratory virus or anything else like that. It is a blood vessel virus. That's why your respiratory system's getting fucked. That's why your brain and everything else where people are coming out with stuff. So I'm going to give that argument of like, well, if you're in peak physical condition, you'll be fine. I'm going to give two counters to that. The first would be, and this one was tragic, is the fact that look at Chris Bosh.
Right.
Again, elite athlete, multi-time champion, Olympic gold. So peak physical condition, right? Taken down by blood clots.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. The second thing that I would go with that, cancer. Cancer will fuck anybody up, whether you're already sickly or you're at peak physical condition.
Right.
This is another example of a sickness that can fuck you up. Hell, the regular ass flu or a cold dealt with improperly by somebody who's super healthy
can
also take you the fuck out depending on what the circumstance is. You catch the flu at the wrong time and maybe you didn't treat it fast enough and now it's in your fucking lungs and now you've got walking pneumonia. Like, fuck, man, you were dealing with bronchitis last winter and having to fucking deal with that shit. It almost took you out. Yep. So it literally just depends. So for someone to say that to me is just ignorant. Are your chances higher because you're healthy? Sure. Yes. Your chances are significantly higher of surviving a sickness if you are a healthy individual because you're not dealing with other complications. But that does not mean that this shit could not be fuck you up on any given Sunday.
Right.
Just like the fucking, what was the worst team in the NFL last year? I don't even fucking remember because they're all bad. We'll say the Dolphins. Dolphins are pretty bad, right?
Sure.
Any given Sunday, the Dolphins, like they did, went up and beat the Patriots' ass. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
The same thing. Any given Sunday, COVID may not take down your healthy as an ox ass, and then that's all she wrote, baby. It gets the one part of your blood vessels like, my one kryptonite, the bottom part of my lung, and then that's it. You're gone. So miss me with that.
Yeah, agreed. Look, for all the people saying that they didn't test positive in the bubble, that's fine. But Milwaukee Bucks reserve guard Pat Connaughton tested positive coronavirus. He's not down in Orlando with the team. So he tested positive, and he's staying out of this situation. So, you know, it's not about testing positive in the bubble right now. It's about testing positive outside the bubble, or even not knowing that you can test positive outside the bubble, coming in there and then having it affect everybody else around you once you come inside that bubble. So we shall see. Somebody said that it's Kelly Oubre who stepped outside to get the food. So it may be him who screwed himself over there for the Suns. Former Washington Wizard there, Kelly Oubre. And speaking of the Wizards, I don't know what we're doing down there. Bradley Beal's not playing. John Wall's not going to come back from injury to play. And Bertans is not playing. So we're just sitting there. We should just, as soon as the game starts, we should just lay down and forfeit the game. Kind of like Kevin Nash getting hit by a finger by Hogan and giving up the belt. That's what we should do. We should just lay down and take the loss.
Are you a Chappelle Show fan?
Oh, yeah. I love Chappelle, of course.
Do you remember the reparation sketch?
Oh, man.
So one of my favorite things that they did is that, like, and it was a smaller story that they got, like, a small joke.
Yeah.
If you look at, it was right after you came back from commercial, and it was like all of the black players left the NBA, right? So it was like Travis Knight played some other white player and won the game, like 10-7 or some shit like that. And they were like, he feels like he's finally a part of the Big Dick Club. Like, it's kind of what this feels like. It's how many superstars are like, I'm out. Like, no, yeah. I'm not gonna. How many Dame Lillards and et cetera that are like, nah, I'm not gonna play. At what point now are we really watching the best of the best playing each other? You're still better than a large majority of the world.
Yeah. But
like, let's say the Milwaukee Bucks play and Giannis is like, yeah, I'm out. Did the Bucks really win, or is it that, you know, you weren't really playing anybody? Like, you know what I'm saying? There's a point of diminished returns that if enough of your stars are out, just don't play, man.
Yeah. I mean, this is all feels like they're just trying to make it happen. And this is going to get worse. I mean, we're going to see how these guys start playing once they start having these games and start seeing how they interact with each other. I mean, remember when Magic had HIV and no one wanted to guard him in that game? Like, people were, Karl Malone was staying. Like, that's the kind of thing. If someone sneezes or coughs or has some situation, I mean, that's the kind of thing in when you're looking at it. Like, that could spark a reaction from a player or a reaction from a team. Anything can happen, man. Fights could be going on between people who have got this and they're coughing in somebody's face. I mean, would you put it past Lance Stephenson if he was down there to cough in LeBron's face to mess with him during a foul shot or to mess with him during a,
I don't, you know, think, you know, so. He's not an asshole. He's an asshole, but he's not a dick. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say, he blew in his face, like, you know.
Like, just to mess with, like, you know what I'm saying? But if, like, I don't think he'd be out there if he had, like, the bubonic plague. First of all, he probably wouldn't play, but he'd be like, that's gross. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that. He just was like the whole ear blowing thing, because I remember the slow-mo.
Oh, yeah.
He was calling me like,
LeBron was the best. He's just like, you idiot. You so think that's gonna affect me?
I feel like very few of them. I almost forgot the other thing that they said about COVID that's coming out, and again, this goes to your blood vessel shit.
Yeah.
They're now saying that COVID is also causing infertility. And men, it's affecting semen the same way that Zika was fucking up with semen and shit.
Yeah.
COVID's doing that too. So the funny thing is, now I'm thinking, now that I remember that, how many NBA players are actually out in these streets being like, actually, give me this shit real quick so I can just go around and fuck and not have to worry about like Antonio Cromartie levels of baby mamas to do child support checks and shit. So,
That's true. It's a good point. David Cronick had an interesting point. He said, here in the UK, we can send a picture to our team and pay to have our picture on a seat in the stadium. Is it the same in the US?
I heard about that. There was rumors that they were going to do that like at Dodger Stadium.
So then
there were hella Giants, Astros and Yankees fans that were like, y'all, we got to buy as many of these fucking seats as we can. Put your Yankee gear on, put your Giants gear on and buy that fucking seat. Oh man.
Yeah, David, we're kind of dicks over here in the United States. You guys, at least in the Premier League, there's a certain level of gentlemanly respect in the sport. We do not have that here. Absolutely what Winston said would happen. Everyone would take a picture of themselves in rival gear and buy the seat, and they'd have to put that picture there, for God's sake. So, yeah, no, that's not happening here anytime soon, my man, for the love of God. That's pretty hilarious, though. All right, let's move on to our last story. I guess we'll do an early wrap-up. jump here, Winston, on this. LeBron James. LeBron James rookie card. I mean, let's talk about this. LeBron James's rookie card just went for $1.8 million. That's right, $1.8 million at auction. It's an Upper Deck rookie patch parallel card sold at auction, $1.845 million on Sunday at Golden Auctions to Lob.com CEO Lior Avidar. And this is a 2003-2004 card. It's a rare card. It sets a modern-day record for cards. Almost any basketball player – any basketball card has ever been sold for. If we were talking about the T206 Honus Wagner or the 1952 Mickey Mantle, it probably wouldn't be that much news. But when you're talking about a card that was literally produced only 17 years ago and is for a guy who is still playing in the NBA, it's just shocking news to a lot of people. It's really where my particular industry has been going for several years. So Mike Trout's rookie card, his signed rookie card, sold for $922,500 because it was one of only five produced and the highest graded card there is. That was just this past May, man. This is incredible news. I mean, do you have a LeBron? I mean, fuck, do you collect any kind of cards at all?
Nah, man. I got a bunch of I was very fortunate that Emmett Smith is good friends with my parents, and like they had the social circle in Dallas that they all hung out with. So I have a bunch of like random like Emmett broke this record shirts and random football signed by him and stuff like that.
Right.
Just because of that family connection, fortunately. But no, I don't. I was never one to. I collected Dragon Ball Z VHSs. I got that. I do have my random. Like, I'm starting to get into Funko Pops a little bit. Like, you can see my Star Wars one on the back.
Oh, yeah.
I can tilt it up a little.
Yep.
Back there, you know what I'm saying? So I sort of have stuff like that, but I've never been as much about that unless there's something that truly speaks to me.
Yeah,
I get more sentimental with random shit. So this is cool. This is super, super cool that that's another testament to LeBron and his legacy. And I think that that's one more way that you have to give him props.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. That's crazy. There's, oh no!
I don't know what that means.
I hope it's just a basement flood and not what we think.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, excited about Shuri, so let me her.
Adam Moore says I have this Jordan card that's going for $3,000 to $4,000 on eBay.
Wow!
Is that your dog?
Yeah, Shuri, that's my dog. That's my pup.
She looks like a wolf, man. What is that thing?
Yeah, she kind of has like a tiger. Like if you look at her, she kind of almost has like tiger stripes, which is pretty cool.
Holy crap!
Yeah, no, but she's small. She's only like 55 pounds. Like,
okay.
She's a lot smaller than she looks. It's just the camera angles making her look like a beast.
Nice.
But yeah, man, I'm laughing though because somebody said about COVID when we were talking about the infertile. Someone goes, "I bet you if that shit caused erectile dysfunction, that half the U.S. would be wearing masks immediately."
Half, please. Half more just in case. Haskell trying to chime in here says, "I have a LeBron Sports Illustrated issue from 2001. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that, Haskell. Fuck, I got a Tiger Woods one when he won the Masters. It ain't gonna bring me that much money. It's those cards.
You never know. I mean, maybe amongst all of his hoes, you might be able to get them to buy this shit. Oh, I don't know.
Certainly positive. It's certainly a possibility, man. Holy shit. We shall see. But anyway, there you go. So if you got a LeBron card, knock yourself out. I will end with this one. I just saw this come over the line here. Going back to what we started the show with, the Redskins, the Washington Professional Football Team, they have hired Terry Bateman to oversee their business operations. He will have the title of Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer, and he has had ties to Dan Orner. That's terrible. He was the president of Snyder Communications and Marketing. So this is all they're doing. They're just going to PR the fuck out of this, basically. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Of course they are, man. And what I'm actually also curious about is in the midst of all of this is they find this as a way to just kind of slip back into being the Washington Redskins and not say anything. That they just like, oh, well, we got past that bullet. Maybe they don't remember that we're named after something super racist.
Right? It's like that. It's like that guy that just waits out, or that guy. Yeah, that guy that just wait after he, like, you know, says some terrible shit or abuses you in some way, and just keeps waits it out and goes, "Oh yeah, no, I cannot come back." And then you let him in, and you're not supposed to let him in. So it just feels that way as well. Oh, that's such a shame. That makes me upset.
I obviously don't have any proof of that, but there's a gut feeling that they're going to use this to play the shell game, where it ends up being sleight of hand that they like get the marble out before you get to decide on that one. That's what this feels like right now.
Shit. All right, let me get your last thoughts on this. The owner of the Las Vegas Raiders now, Mark Davis, he is leaning towards not having any fans attend games at Las Vegas' new Allegiant Stadium this season. He is the lone dissenting vote, of course, as a Raiders owner. Why wouldn't he be? On the league owner's recent decision to tarp off the first 8 rows of seats from the field in each stadium and cover them with advertisements, Davis said the Raiders' idea of leaving the seats for fans and erecting hockey-style plexiglass around the bottom of the stadium to separate fans from players on the sidelines was shot down before the vote. So no one fan is more important to me than another, no matter if they paid for a $75,000 PSL or a $500 PSL. Jesus Christ, $75,000. They're all Raiders fans to me. My mindset today is no fan should attend games. I don't even know if it's safe to play. So this is an owner in the NFL saying this. So this is very interesting, Winston. Do you think we'll start to hear, as this gets closer and closer, we'll start to hear more owners? Because, I mean, look, it's all connected. Nothing's in a vacuum. The Congress right now is looking to pass a new stimulus bill. And part of the contention is that none of the business owners will be liable for coronavirus lawsuits. And people can't file them unless they can prove absolute negligence, which is very difficult to prove. And so this would be the same thing here in the NFL. None of the players could sue the owners unless they could prove absolute negligence. So do you think this is a way of owners going, like, look, this is a way to avoid any kind of lawsuits from fans for this situation?
No, I mean, I think so. You just have to say, nah, don't do it. Because, like, what you're going to have to do if you do decide to have fans, you're going to have to do the same ignorant shit that you're seeing with some of the schools of, like,
oh, yeah,
well, here's the field trip death waiver. If your kid gets COVID and dies from this, you can't sue us. You would essentially have to do the same thing with these sports. I would hope that would be enough that people would be like, well, then maybe I shouldn't go.
Yeah.
But you also are very aware of, look at where we are. We've proven how smart as a country we are. So people will be like, you're telling me I can get floor level seats now instead of for $75,000 for $500? Bitch, I'll be there tomorrow. Right. Like, I know plenty of people that would do that shit. And you just have to put your foot down and say no fans. But again, they're looking at their bottom line. They don't give a fuck. Instead of taking the negotiation of we'll get some money out of playing the games with no fans there, they're like, nah, let's get every fucking penny that we feasibly can without potential backlash. It's the same fucking conversation with them, and they drive me up the wall, man.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We'll see. I mean, I think we're more and more like he just tweeted here, Harrell, that the New York Giants, or Haskell rather, the New York Giants and the New York Jets and now Rutgers will play the season with no fans in attendance. So this may spread throughout the NFL, where all these owners start saying they're going to play games with no fans in attendance. And look, I haven't minded watching. I watched the Yankees game a little bit the other night. I don't mind no fans in attendance. They pipe in the noise. I've been watching the Premier League the last few weeks. I like the piped in noise or the pipe in fan noise. I don't have a problem with that. So maybe that's the way out of this thing. My concern is putting these guys in this situation. Look, how many players are on one team? Like 52 players. Well, anything can happen. You know what I'm saying?
That's the bigger thing, I think, when you look outside of baseball and basketball and soccer. These teams are massive.
Yeah.
Not just the players, but the staff is significantly larger
than
everybody else. And so this just becomes a bigger ticking time bomb than any, like, we're already kind of on pins and needles about, like, is everybody going to be good with soccer in Europe? And so far they're doing all right. And everybody's on pins and needles with the NBA, which we've had so many setbacks already. Yeah. So, like, you are asking for more trouble with this, but if they're holding on, like, if they figure, like, I'll support if they figured out, but I think goes back to what Jen said, maybe it was you, but it was we are rewarding bad behavior.
Yeah, it was Jen. Yeah,
a child's bad behavior with more chocolate. I think that we just need to sit on this and be in timeout. I'm black. We don't really do timeout. I don't think Latino, you do timeout either. It's a chunkle upside the head, and then your ass goes and thinks about what you did.
Exactly.
Like, not in timeout, but just with a chancla at the back of your goddamn head. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was your timeout.
I do remember.
We need the chancla. We need the switch. Like, we need that. And once that is set in and we go, damn, maybe I should stop this. Then you can go back and have some Dunkaroos, which are back this week. I am buying so many Dunkaroos.
Nice. You understand. Eric Portnoy says, as a Rutgers grad, I can say that no fans go to Rutgers games in the first place, so no change.
Yeah, there you go.
Respect, Portnoy.
There you go.
And one last thing here, Haskell said, that wasn't what I wanted to put up. Where is it? It just went past me. Oh, yeah, here. This just got announced as well. Dr. Fauci is apparently throwing out the first pitch on opening day for the Washington Nationals. I mean, if that isn't the biggest FU to do it in D.C. for the Nationals to Trump, I've never seen it. I've never seen it. That is a shade and a half situation. Also, that old man can't throw no baseball across the plate, for God's sakes. No way.
Yeah. I mean, but how many old men have not been able to do that already and have embarrassed themselves?
That's true.
It's fine.
All right. That's fine. all right, Winston. Please, thank you so much for joining me today, man. And where can they find you and everything you got going on, brother man?
Yeah. You see my name down there at the Swaggy Blur, THESWAGGYBLURD. That's all the socials. That's the Twitch. That's Letterboxd, everything. The Patreon, patreon.com/theswaggyblurred. I've got a show called Positive Black People News. New episodes drop Thursdays. It's positive news stories about Black people. Think Last Week Tonight with positive Black news stories. It's pretty simple. My top two tier patrons actually join my writer's room and can help write stories. So if you've ever been interested in being in the writer's room before, that's an opportunity for you to get a start there. We've had some of the people here watching, Ambling Soul, aka Cheryl. She wrote an amazing story about a UPS driver. Fillmore Pockets, who's in here sometimes, he wrote a story about, I can't remember off the top of my head because I'm a little tired, but he wrote a story. So Govin, I don't know if she's in here, but she wrote one. They've done excellent job, so it's a great opportunity. And then, of course, tomorrow, Jay will be joining me from Chicago, but we're doing Blurreds in the Hood still. I may be a little bit late just because for the Schmodown fans, I'm sure you know that there are pre-tapings of matches, so I will come in a baby bit late, but it's all good. I'll be there tomorrow. So just come check it out, man. Check out the Twitch. Check out Blurreds in the Hood. Come back here every Monday. Check out the Patreon. That's all.
There you go. Are they already starting the singles matches this week?
Damn. Yes.
Damn.
Bro, crazy. You see how many motherfucking
I know. Dude.
We don't have a choice. We have to do that shit.
Before the world ends, we got to get these 36 matches out.
36. That is at minimum 36 hours of work, if not double that.
Yeah.
They slot at least 2 hours to make sure those things get done. So, fuck, it's true.
Brandon Buckingham calling him out. He called me out. He said, skip my super chat. That's cool, John Rogan. You could just say, hey, man, you missed my super chat. But no, you got to go with the passive aggressive route. I respect it. So let me read it, Brandon. He said, Rays win the AL East. Better pitching than the New York Yankees. Great. There you go. You got it right out, Brandon. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. All right. Mad love to everybody who joined us here today. Please follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. And subscribe to the channel down below. We're here every Monday, 2 p.m. PT live, having a lot of fun talking about the world of sports. And yeah, maybe we don't get as knowledgeable or in-depth as Jen Sturger. But hey, we have a lot of fun anyway. And the fans have been fantastic every week, having a little fun chiming in with their own shots at poor Jay Washington and at me and Winston as well. So much love to all them. I do want to say one thing just to announce it here as well. On Wednesday at 3 p.m. PT, it is finally happening. Christian Harloff is my guest on the Outlaw Nation. 3 p.m. PT. It's going to be crazy. 2 hours of us going at it, talking about the Schmodown, talking about our lives, talking about our friendship. You know, we met in college, so there's going to be a lot we're going to cover in that show. So don't forget to come back to the Outlaw Nation show on Wednesday, 3 p.m. PT. A lot of discussion to be happening between me and Christian. And that's it. Take care. Make sure to follow Jay Washington as well at Mr. Jay Washington. Even though he's not here, we've got to give him love.
You can follow the pup. Like, we decided to make her an Instagram. It's called Wakanda Forever. And she be killing it. She's hilarious, bro. Like, she has a Trump doll that one of her aunties got her. She fucks that shit up. Like, she will throw that motherfucker across the room. As a matter of fact, the day she got it,
I love it.
Like a couple days later when Trump was at the West Point thing and he fell down the ramp, ooh, we were like, oh, that's because she was flinging his legs about. It's a voodoo doll. So, lots of dope comments. So if you want to follow Shuri and her adventures, Wakanda Forever.
that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. There you go. Give it a love. Give it some love. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we will talk to you next time, next week, on another brand new episode of Game Time. Be well and take care, and wear a damn mask until then. Peace.